Well, we've got one for you today. Today, I'm going to be doing the world premiere of a new story I've been working on. This is pretty much done. I was going to give it a last allowed read through, make some little changes, and then it'll be going live on Amazon, hopefully tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. So you get to see a little bit of the process, and I think you're really going to enjoy this tale. Tale as old as time, about a dad whose three young sons become ninjas and foil a plot of evil. Stay tuned. For some music, trying to find the most serious music I could find, and Tetris theme done by London Philharmonic is fits the bill, I guess. So here's what we've got today. It's a combination show. One, it's just kind of a nice story time. This is a humorous story that I wrote. It's all based on one little premise. If you've seen the motion picture Three Ninjas, you've got Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You've got an older brother who's just kind of your generic blonde boy from the 90s. And you've got a little brother who's like a food fatso, except he's not fat. He's like five. And they become ninjas somehow. Their grandpa teaches them to be ninjas. And then... You know, I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly, their father becomes kidnapped. So one day, I was walking down the street, minding my own business, when I saw my I was thinking about that movie, and thinking about how weird it was that, we just sort of all accepted this. But if you were the dad, if you were the dad in this situation... Wouldn't you be a little bit like, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on? Here, I've got the Three Ninjas trailer here. Let's see what we've got. Maybe I'll have a little more descriptive action for you. We're in the woods, there's smoke. Three kids in ninja outfits, looking around at a disembodied laughing voice. Oh, and their Asian grandpa's up in a tree.
Grandpa, how'd you do that?
Next time, try attacking in a non-smoking section.
Oh, there was ninja smoke.
We almost had you. Yeah, we almost had you.
Had me?
Also, I guess none of the kids are Jonathan Taylor Thomas. That part's entirely made up.
Michael.
What?
If I hadn't stopped the car, you would have been called Pancake by now.
You would have stopped. Okay, guys, what now? Let's attack him again.
So they've got ninja sticks.
Two lessons you have to learn from this battle.
This is Egg Shen up in the tree.
Attack unless you're gonna win.
And lesson two?
Don't climb a tree that's full of thorns. Ooh.
Jesus Christ. That wasn't the trailer, though. I want to see the trailer, because I want it to be like, three young boys... You know what I mean? I want to see what that is. Why is it replaying? Yeah, I really wanted to see that again. The hilarious, hilarious thing. Three Ninjas. Apparently there are a lot of Three Ninjas movies. Here we go. Let's try this. From 1992, so I was 9.
They were three brothers learning the ways of the ninja, but what started as a game suddenly turned real. Those kids.
We should run. We should hide. We should kick their butts.
Now,
a bunch of guys with swords
are taking on one ruthless criminal.
Yes!
And they're determined to have the last laugh.
Enjoy the ride.
Three Ninjas, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Yeah, so here's the thing about Three Ninjas that I think also was real intriguing to me, besides the obvious. I also thought it was pretty interesting that they had these three ninjas. Like, it was three little kids. The oldest one is maybe 12, and they're all fighting adults. You know what I mean? They're punching and kicking, and adults, the adults are not like, this is fucked up. They're kids. They're just going for it. So anyway, what I decided to do was write a little tale, a little fan fiction, if you will, about what would this be like from the dad's perspective. I just felt like he wasn't very involved in the movie. And, you know, I like to see an involved father. I have my own issues, and we don't need to go into it. So I might also make a few stops along the way to make some edits, just because this is kind of a last read-through before this gets real and goes live. So that's kind of the other side here, if you're a little interested in that whole process. Because part of what I like to do when I do something is read it out loud. Because if you read it out loud, it sounds better, and then it reads better. And if you read it out loud like this, like into a microphone or so that someone else can hear you, I think it's even more effective. So without further ado, we have Ninja Sons. Most dads would be proud to have three ninja sons who foil the plot of international evil. Most dads would be over the moon, way over. Probably over Mars or some other planet that's higher than the moon. Or further. Further? Higher, but sideways higher? However it works, more happier. But the thing of it is, most dads are complete idiots. That's why they have kids in the first place. The idiot stuff. They were too dumb to keep from growing a baby in some lady. Sometimes they even make the same mistake a bunch of times in a row. I understand making babies in different people. You maybe slipped up once, but then you think, surely this new lady's parts don't work the same way, so if I stick with the plan, I should be safe. But to put more than one baby in the same lady, that's just careless. You know how else dads are dumb? They pick up these hobbies that they hate, just to be out of the house. Like fishing. That's the dumbest shit ever. Why does fishing happen at 6 a.m.? Do fish even know light and dark? Does that even matter under the water? And who invented the kind of fishing where you stand in the middle of the goddamn river? I went fishing one time, and you know what happened? Nothing. Except that for my next birthday, my kids got me a tie that looks like a big dead fish because I went fishing one time. What a tie for thing... okay. Oh, okay. What a tie for things that you have to wear ties to, like funerals. So I'm going to just change that to perfect. Perfect tie for things that you have to wear ties to, like funerals. It also works great for whatever that thing is where you wrap a necktie around a doorknob and around your neck and try to come before you die. Those are the only tie things I know. Which I guess brings us right back to my kids. You were saying, Dave, you're talking all this bad stuff about dads, but you're a dad. How does that work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. I ejaculate too much. Amount-wise, not in number of times-wise. Seriously, there's a lot in there. The cum part goes long enough that I'm done with the orgasm way before the cum stops. Way before. Back when, I'd overflow a condom. Seriously. And let me tell you, it is not because I have a huge awesome schwang. There was room to spare. After, I'd have to tie the thing off like a water grenade and then set it gently in the trash to make sure it didn't pop. I'm gonna say, after the cum was over, I'd have to tie the condom off. There we go. Now I keep one of those long tubes full of deep rock water cones clipped to the desk where I jack off, and I'll usually fill at least one per cum. So I'm not entirely sure about how biology works, but I think it's safe to say that this problem has something to do with all three of these boys running around. The ninja thing is another story. Okay, that's section one. So I just added cum a couple times, and I think it looks pretty good. Really set the tone early, didn't we? Part two. Kids have to do things. You can just leave them in a room for the baby part. This is a fatherhood tip. How does a baby even know what life is? They don't know any other guys. Who's going to tell them that there's other stuff outside? For all they know, this is everything. When sitting upright is a life milestone for you, how discerning are you going to be about what you do all day? But then kids get older and you have to take them out. They squint into the sun. My youngest even hissed and tried to duck down an alley. Then they see a slide. Then you're fucked. My wife brought home a packet from the rec center with a bunch of activities to do over the summer. There was this lifeguard on the front teaching old people how to do exercising in the water. One of the old ladies on the cover, she had the most enormous breasts I've ever seen. No kidding. I've seen some shit. I've seen porn directed straight at people who would be into this sort of thing on a level way above hobbyist. And still these were the biggest ever, and they were on the rec center packet of kid activities. My wife read names of activities. Maybe lacrosse. Ooh, maybe diving lessons. I said, is that her nipple? That can't be her nipple. How can a breast that big have a nipple that small? Needed a question mark. She plowed on, kept reading through some other sports. Maybe she said darts? Darts for kids? This is just uncanny, I said. This can't be a stock photo. I pounded two fingertips straight into the table. This woman lives in our town. This conversation ended with the boys in rec league soccer and with me no closer to solving this mystery. So there you go. That's section two. And I'm going to just add a little thing on the end here. No closer to solving this mystery. The mystery of the huge boobs on the rec center packet. That sounds like a Hardy Boys title, right? I think it does, like a skull thing. Maybe if it had a skull or treasure. I don't know. Those Hardy Boys, they're always getting into all this shit. Like, I read one of those books when I was a kid and then got a little into it and someone got killed. And then I was like, oh, this isn't for me. I don't want to watch someone get killed over treasure. All right, part three. Have you watched a lot of soccer? I thought I'd seen soccer. I thought I had at least some idea of what happens at a soccer game. Have you seen soccer? I did not. What happens in adult soccer is probably different. I know at the very least they don't wear jerseys down to their knees, and it doesn't seem like the goalie is just the fattest kid. Seriously, you should see this load. He's probably the best goalie in the league solely because his body mass covers a high percentage of the goal. Mathematically, he has to be better than most just by nature of his presence. Other than the chance to marvel at the fatness of a child, kid soccer is a crock of shit. Nothing exciting, nothing fun. Plus, if you're a spectator, it's all camping chairs all the time. I hate camping chairs. Take my advice right now. If you have any camping chairs in the storage part of your garage, throw them in the garbage can part of the garage. Because those things are bullshit. They suck, and whenever you set them up, you run the risk of ripping right through one and falling, whether that be the horrors of a fall into a soccer grass or a small ravine. And when you're falling into a ravine wearing a blown-out camping chair as a skirt, you'll wonder why you didn't listen to me. Three point two. Me and my wife took turns with soccer games, but the kind of turns where I did one and she did like five. This is a mutual decision. She didn't like how I questioned orange slices. I figured it was better to just give each kid a whole orange. She said they were too hard for kids to open. I said that if a kid is too weak to open an orange, he has no business on a sports field. It turned into this whole conversation about Bo Jackson on a hypothetical desert island and how he'd open a sealed can of peaches. Bo Jackson sealed my soccer involvement. My wife did her own math and decided it was better to handle soccer herself than to go through so much shit. And while we're being honest, she really didn't care for me calling the goalie kid a load. So Bo Jackson pretty much killed. I don't like having sealed twice in a row. Sealed can of peaches, Bo Jackson sealed. No. Sealed can of peaches, Bo Jackson pretty much killed. Perfect. Oh, Bo Jackson. Part 4. An outbreak of flu forced the entire rec league to cancel the remains of the summer soccer season. I don't think very many kids died, so I took this as a sign that we should go back to our lives the way they were before we had to wake up at the ass crack of ass to drive these kids to a big rectangle where they ran around and kicked at a circle. Oh, and at the end they got a Capri Sun, which is the number one rated drink for spilling in a car. That's another thing about having kids. You used to buy stuff because it was cool. Now you buy stuff because you can make a good game plan of how to clean it once your kids ruin it. I hate that I said that. It sounds cute. It sounds like something a parent would put on one of those stupid e-cards and everyone would get a good LOL out of it. I'm not saying that to be cute. I am not fucking around. Here's how to know if a child will destroy your possession. Take this simple quiz. Question 1. Is it something you love? If the answer is yes, quiz over. You are going to lose everything that you love. But it's even worse because you don't lose it. It's not gone, it's ruined. And you still have to live with the ruined version of whatever you have. One of my boys was playing with my phone. He set it down, and when I picked it up, one of his stupid blonde hairs was stuck inside the screen. I'm not kidding. It's in there behind the goddamn screen. This is not something I could do, given any amount of time, given any tools on this world, if my life depended on it. So now I have this phone that I used to love, except it's got this goddamn stupid blonde curl stuck inside, and I hate it. Bam. All right, part 5. I guess I should probably describe my kids a little bit before we get too far into the ninja stuff. Don't worry, we're getting there. I have 3 boys. 3 bundles of smelly joy that I suspect masturbate all over the house. If you ever wondered how much masturbation could go on in one house, have 3 boys. It's a cum palace in here. Insane. The oldest, Brad, is boring. It kind of feels like he's coasting on oldest brother fame, which is a big kind of fame when you're a kid, but it's not going to do a lot of good for him as he gets older. I'm the oldest brother, so... He's also a little on the chubby side, I think. I'm not really sure what an appropriate weight is for boys. Then we've got our middle son, Sean. Sean's always doing something stupid with his hair. Bangs out to next week, that kid. In a couple days, who knows? Liberty spikes, mohawk, swoopy stuff, a fade. I have no idea where he gets haircut money. I have no idea where he gets this much haircut money. Where he gets so much. RC is the youngest, most annoying. Brad keeps to himself for the most part, and Sean is fine as long as you don't give a shit when he talks to girls past 10 p.m. So he's tired at school. What's he missing? A pep rally? Fuck it. But RC, this guy is always trying to say something cute. Like he's on audition for a show or something. Last week he came in the kitchen after we exploded a paint can in the garage. He said, "Boy, is my face red." The paint was really more of a brown. But you just let him have that one, otherwise it'll go on all day. If he gets in it in early, you might get through part of a week. Crossing out that last line. After he exploded a can of paint in the garage. All right. Part 6. After the cancellation of the soccer season, I had a couple weeks of ideal life. Ideal life is having Saturday and Sunday to mostly not do stuff. So when I say ideal, keep in mind that my standards are very low. After trials with some other dumb dad hobbies, I went with wood shop in the garage, which has its pluses and minuses. After trials with some of the other dumb dad hobbies I talked about earlier. The pluses, it's dangerous for young boys, which means we have a rule that they aren't allowed in the garage no matter what. Also, my wife has absolutely no interest in woodworking. It's uncanny how little interest she has. So that makes it easier to lie about woodworking, because the truth is I can barely work any wood. So that makes it easier to lie about woodworking, which is good, which is important, because the truth is I can barely work any wood. The minus is I know nothing about wood or how to work with it. Whenever we need a piece of furniture or something gets messed up, my wife asks me to fix it. I guess that a normal woodworker could probably fix a table wobble no problem, whereas I buy a new copy of the same shitty, like, IKEA table, the same as the broken one. I even scratched up the top on purpose where the first table was scratched so no one would know. Overall, worth it. If you want a fake hobby, wood is great. Every once in a while, I pick up a crappy something or other from a garage sale, hit it with the sander so it looks unfinished, then make sure to set it up on a counter so that everyone will see how hard their dad is working at his passion. I have a mattress in my shop garage, and I mostly nap. The mattress slides right under the workbench. Spiders really enjoy this mattress as well. It turns out spiders like any spot that's terrifying for me. I probably could use some punctuation. I wish I could communicate with the spiders just to let them know that I'm totally cool with them using the bed when I'm not in there, which is at least 5 days out of the week. However, when I slide it out, they need to vacate. Also, if they get knocked up, they need to disappear for a while. Like a 1950s high school. No spider babies. I don't even want to see it. There you go. Just crossing out a line there. Whenever something gets messed up, my wife asks me to fix it. 7. Saturday, I get up to the sound of cracking wood. I had plans to get up early, so it was all right. I bought oatmeal cream pies the day before, the big kind from the gas station, and the plan was to head into the garage, eat the shit out of them in a one-shot fugue, and then sleep off the stomach pain and cream sweats until it solidified into a gigantic shit. So a pretty full Saturday was in the works here. When I looked out the back window, the boys had two piles of boards from the wood shop. One pile was splintered and broken. They had two sawhorses set up with a board laid across. The cracking wood sound came again when one of the boys took two steps back, ran at the sawhorse, jumped up, and with a big downward kick, cracked the board in half. Does that make sense? When I looked out the back window, the boys had piles of boards from the wood shop. I'm just going to say this. When I looked out the back window, the boys had two sawhorses set up with a board laid across. The cracking wood sound came again when one of the boys took two steps back, ran at the sawhorses, jumped up, and with a big downward kick, cracked a board in half. Cracked the board. Cracked a board in half. Even I had to admit that kicking a board to pieces was pretty fucking cool. Breaking anything in half with your body is pretty fucking cool. I went to it. Plus, great excuse to go back to the hardware store for more lumber. The hardware store is a prime escape for dads who are trying to get out of being dads. It's worthless, that place. It's not like you can do much shopping around in there. I mean, they have a few sections you see where couples wander together. Gutters, sconces, stuff like that. But for the most part, it's just lifeless corpses killing a Sunday. You can walk around that place forever. It's not like anyone's going to walk up and ask you to buy something or get out. Everyone who works there is hiding too. I swear to God, one time there was an employee there asleep in the bathroom on the toilet. I saw his orange apron crumpled up on the floor. I heard the snores. So trust me, you can hide out a long time. They even sell hot dogs. Yeah. Love that place. I'm going to say killing a Saturday just because we've been talking about Saturdays. Why change it to Sunday? You know what I mean? Why get ballsy now? Part 8. What's up with those robes? I said to my wife after she got up. She stood next to me, watched our sons destroy lumber. She stood next to me and watched our sons destroy lumber in the yard. I didn't really understand why the boys were wearing robes out on the lawn while they broke stuff, but I figured as long as they got into the wood and not my oatmeal cream pies, we were cool. Those are their karate uniforms, she said. They're called gis. Gis, I said. Huh, what are they for? She said their karate teacher said they needed them, like a uniform. I said, really? For karate? Yeah, she said. They wear underwear under those things, right? My wife set her coffee cup down on the counter. Loud. I think she wanted me to turn and look at her, which is why I decided definitely not to do that. She said, I'm sure they do. How sure? I said. Completely sure, she said. You asked? She took some deep breaths. That's when I know I've gone too far. With her, it's like when someone pukes from drinking too much. They start breathing hard. It's only a matter of time. It's not like there's much you can do to change course at that point. She swallowed. That's what they wear. What did you think they would wear in karate lessons? I hadn't really thought about it. I guess most of the karate I've seen in movies, the people were either shirtless or in silk pajamas or maybe in a leather vest. Or the people were Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I honestly didn't remember what they were wearing except for the part in Time Cop where he did the splits over two kitchen countertops and only boxer shorts. I guess a robe is better than just boxer shorts. Never mind, I said. When did this karate business start? Since soccer ended? How do you not know about this? It's all the boys talk about anymore. Huh, I said. Well, seems to be going well. Look at them go. The boys took turns cracking boards in half. Two would grab a board and set it on the sawhorses, while the third did some kind of weird meditation thing. Then the two would back off and the third would attack. Maybe you should go out there, she said. Talk to them. Okay, the two would back off and the one would attack. The one would finish his weird meditation and attack. Maybe you should go out there, she said. Talk to them. That started me gulping air like I might vomit. But I've learned that vomit doesn't get you out of dad stuff. Not after you do it a few times to get out of dad stuff anyway. You can only puke your way out of so many parent-teacher conferences. So I unlatched the door and went out in my robe to talk to the boys, who were also in robes. Part 9. Hey guys, can I give it a try? The boys stopped where they were. I felt like how it must feel if you fell into the monkey area at the zoo. All the monkeys deciding if they want to attack my face or skip straight to pulling off my penis. I heard monkeys do that, go for the penis. Which is double bad because no matter what, if something happens to your penis or butt, it's hilarious for everyone else. You can get your penis shot off saving the president, you'll still be that dork with no penis. Forever. If you get some kind of butt cancer, my advice, just tell people it's intestinal. Seriously, it's not like people know about cancer, so you might as well save yourself the trouble. Just whatever's wrong with your penis or butt, look up something with the same symptoms that doesn't involve penises or butts and say you have that. Trust me on this one. Well, that was oddly prescient, wasn't it? I didn't think the boys were going to actually pull off my penis the way monkeys would. Although maybe they'd learn that move in karate. Pulling off penises might be lesson one. Who knows? How about it, guys? I said. Want to show your old man how to break one off? Brad said, Dad, it takes a lot of practice. I said, come on. I've been alive like 3 times as long as you guys. Pretty sure I can do this. They looked at each other. Sean took over. He always takes over when it's time to be an asshole to Dad. All right, fine. If you want to try. The other two boys got a board and set it on the sawhorses. Sean got his phone out of his robe pocket. I said, are you taping this? He hates it when I say taping because he says there's no tape. Brad says, okay, Dad. Here's what you want to do. First thing, you have to align your energies. Align my energies, I said. Is that what you guys have been doing back here with all the dancing around in your robes? Sean said, it's not dancing around, it's focusing and aligning energy. Yeah, RC said. And these aren't robes, they're gis. I knew they were called gis. But karate robes is a lot funnier. I'm kind of the funny dad. Okay, well I feel pretty aligned at this point, I said. Brad said, Dad, you have to do it serious. Otherwise, it won't work. I said, fine. How do I master my chi here? Brad closed his eyes. What a pompous punk, closing his eyes before he talks about wind in the trees and shit like that. Which is, I'm pretty sure, what he talked about. I can't really remember because I didn't listen. It's his own fault. I was too mad about him closing his eyes before he talked to me. How am I supposed to pay attention? After he does that. Oh, man. This is such a long thing to do. You know what's funny about editing stuff like this? You, like, want to make it perfect. But part of me is also, like, I just want to sort of not add things because that's way easier. Now you try, he said. I didn't know what he was doing, so I just sort of stood there. You should close your eyes, he said. I said, come on, there must be some people who don't close their eyes. Not everyone has to close his eyes. Just let's go. Let's get a move on here. All right, fine, he said. After your energies are lined up, focus on them coursing through your veins, right into your hands. Where the hell was he getting this stuff? Then, when you are ready, don't break the board. Concentrate on making everything else harder. Your hand, the air around it. Once everything else becomes harder than the board will break at your command. So basically, we've been sending three boys to karate lessons to unlearn science. Hopefully these answers are acceptable on college entrance tests. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll score so low that it'll seem like a miracle that they were able to get safely home after the test and some school will figure they deserve scholarships. Get home safely. I mean, these things must go to the dumbest and the smartest, right? Not the middle kids. As long as they're not middle, we're good. Dad, whenever you're ready. I thought about breaking the board. Then about my hand hurting. Then I switched hands because I might as well use my crappy hand just in case. I took a step back, wound up big, and then chopped down on the board as hard as I could. I also yelled, "Hiya!" Have you guys ever tried to karate chop a board in half? That's a dumb question. Who would ever karate chop a board a third of the way through? Anyway, it's really hard to chop all the way through some wood, I assume. I assume it's hard because I didn't do it, and not doing it was pretty goddamn difficult from a hand pain standpoint. My hand was throbbing like you wouldn't believe. I didn't even scratch the board. My hand was already a festival of colors. I'm gonna paragraph. My hand became a festival of colors. Pale white, then pink, then a deep painful red. Then purple rolled in like an afternoon storm. Wow. Dad, are you okay? Whoa. It wasn't until Sean asked that I realized I was standing in sort of a crouch, knees together with my hand sandwiched in between them. This is not a good look for me. Probably not for anybody, but definitely not for me. I don't have the right kind of thighs for it. I think I should lie down. Tell your mom to get the pills left over from my wisdom teeth thing. Okay, I don't have the thighs for it. Wasn't until Sean asked that I realized I was standing in a... Okay, fine. XVI. I don't know the chapter number we're on in Roman numerals, by the way. I was doing pretty good there, just sort of thought I had it. Then we hit whatever the last one was, and I got lost. So we'll just move forward with some random letters. It's better this way. People reading over your shoulder will think you're reading an epic novel about Rome or something instead of the tales of a man who just wanted three non-ninja sons. Such a simple request. If you're not sure where you left off, I'll give you a hint. The stuff at the top comes before the stuff at the bottom. That's a pretty good way to get through most books. If you're moving towards the front of the book, that's wrong. If you finish a page at the top, that's wrong. If you think this is going well, that's wrong too. People say every book is an adventure. I think some books are, but definitely not the Seven Habits book. That shit's boring. GXX. My wife didn't have the pills from when my wisdom teeth came out. She tossed them after I was done with them, which for her was when I was done feeling wisdom tooth pain. For everyone else I've ever met, you're done with painkillers when they are gone, possibly after trying three or four different pharmacies to see if they'll refill a bottle that says no refills and has another guy's name on the label. They're usually pretty nice about it if you just sort of admit you've done wrong in that ain't I a stinker kind of way. If you admit you've done wrong, kind of go about it in that ain't I a stinker kind of way. They say there's no fucking way. You smile and say, haha, well, can't blame me for trying, because you really can't. Some guy invented pills that make you feel good, and you're just supposed to ignore them? I had to make do with what was in the medicine cabinet. We had Dayquil, NyQuil, and chloraseptic throat spray. I figured spray wouldn't help my hand much, but I went ahead and sprayed it anyway, because what the hell? Then I drank some NyQuil. I don't even know why they make Dayquil. Assholes. In my NyQuil haze, which I normally enjoy very much, I could have sworn I saw black sedans circling in front of the house over and over. Then I figured it was probably just the NyQuil talking. Then I ate some crackers, and then the NyQuil really kicked in, and I still saw black sedans and just didn't care. Then the NyQuil really kicked in. I still saw the black sedans. I just didn't care. I still kept seeing. Perfect. HSN. On the plus, I called in sick for work Monday. Fuck it, my hand hurt. Here's a little tip for calling in sick to work. If you tell them something happened and the story is humiliating, they'll believe it. Because when people fake sick, they say they had an upset stomach. They don't say that they vomited all over the hot cooking table at the Benihana and that the vomit cooked right there on the table, live. You don't say you hurt your back. Okay, so I need to change this. But take my advice. But take my advice. Don't say you hurt your back. Say you blew a disc trying to carry a huge stuffed gorilla you found in a dumpster down the stairs and then panicked because a rat emerged from somewhere deep within the gorilla's fur, which resulted in a tumble. Which resulted in you taking a tumble. And, of course, don't say you hurt your hand. Say you hurt your hand trying to karate a wooden board in half after watching your three sons do it for a half hour with no problems whatsoever. Nobody is going to question it. There's just too many questions. For an hour? It turned out to be a pretty good day, although I slept through most of it, which was a waste of a sick day. Here's another parenting tip. If you stay home sick, get up early. Do fun, then nap and rest when your family comes home. They'll think you must be really sick and you slept all day when the truth is that you learned how to play Xbox with one hand. Section Y. The downside to admitting you hurt your hand by karate chop is that you have to go back into work eventually. And now you're the office loser. Your term as office loser lasts until A, something legitimately terrible happens, like somebody's dad dies, or B, something much funnier happens to someone else, or C, something a little less funny happens to someone else, but it's caught on video so everyone can see. That's powerful, let me tell you. As someone who has been through it, let me just advise that you don't let anyone film when you stand on a rolling chair to hide snacks in the ceiling tiles. QR. I work in an office. We do office stuff. It's horrible. Office work days are pretty much the same. I used to break it up with lunch in the break room, but the thing is, everyone eats at about the same time. So instead of having a lunch to yourself to scroll through your phone and watch videos of people in wheelchairs or mobility scooters falling down escalators, you have to talk to the same people you've been talking to all day. And they don't want to talk about wheelchair escalator carnage. So lately I take lunch outside, by which I mean get in the car, drive to the office park next door, and eat my lunch in my car. There's a guy who parks in the lot at my office and does it, so I figure there's a sort of exchange program thing going on where it's okay to be sad in someone else's parking lot during lunch. After lunch, I make a big show of taking my toothbrush in the bathroom. I don't even brush in there, just stand against the wall and space out. Nobody stops you from brushing your teeth. Everyone kind of hates you, but they all kind of hate you anyway because last year you slowly added more and more pickle juice to the water cooler until it was, by your estimation, at least one-third pickle juice. I didn't think it would last that long, but there's something about only upping the pickle juice content by about 2% a week that makes it so people don't even notice. They just think, the water cooler is pickly. That's how it is. This is our lives now. I eventually told because it was funny, and also because I spent a lot of money. And spiking a water cooler is easy when you're talking a couple of ounces every week. When it got to where I needed a funnel and then a bigger funnel, I stopped. Nobody else thought it was funny. They thought it was mean, which I agreed with. What we never really agreed on was whether things that are mean are also funny. We just never got there together. That was a spiritual journey I had to take alone. I tell people I work at an office supply store because it's more interesting than working at an office that just uses office supplies. I say one of my big jobs is restocking the little pieces of paper they always have so people can try out different pens. I say, you know, a lot of people shop online, but what they miss out on is actually holding a pen, feeling its weight. You really have to write a mile in a pen's ink before you can begin to understand it. I don't even know if that's true. I never even used a pen for work, just for vandalizing stuff when I was younger. I like to write business stuff in highlighter because it's like, if you write something and highlight it, save time and just write it with highlighter in the first place. I write all my business stuff. FNG. My wife asked me to pick up the boys from karate, so I had to drive all around this crazy Asian neighborhood to find the karate teacher's gym. Get this. Their karate teacher's name? Mr. Wong. Haha, can you believe it? How lazy is that? It's one letter away from Mr. Gong. I'd like to introduce my karate teacher, Mr. Wong, and it's just the sound. I got so excited about Mr. Wong's name being replaced with the gong sound that pretty soon I was all turned around until I found the Asian market. That's a place I knew about. The Asian market part of town is full of mystery, people say. Just cross that all out. The Asian market part of town is full of mystery, people say. I think it's mostly full of weird things that people pretend that they eat, like chicken feet. I tried those one time. They're fine, but there's barely anything on them for eating. What animal has feet that we should be eating? Nobody eats the feet part of a lobster or a spider. Or if I had to eat a guy for survival, I wouldn't start with his foot. Just a cooked foot sitting on a plate? Hannibal Lecter always eats all the organs and stuff in the movies, but I think if he ate feet, it might really bring what he was doing into focus and get him to change his mind. You really have to cut a man into nice steaks that don't look like people parts if you want to do cannibal stuff and still be kind of normal. I kept driving around in circles until I saw some kids in karate robes coming out of a building. I made this real crazy turn to get across the way, cut off some traffic, and I saw another black sedan that I could swear was following me. Ha, good luck, buddy. I'm so bad at driving, most of the time I'm not even sure what the hell I'm doing. I'd make a great getaway driver. I don't know any rules and stuff about driving, so if I came up to a one-way road, I'd probably just turn whatever way I wanted and then deal with it later. I'd drive all over the place and no one could follow me because it's like, how can we follow this guy? It's like chasing a really fast ant. Have you ever tried to catch an ant that's really fast? It's goddamn impossible because ants have no idea what they're doing. I followed a few more kids and then saw they were all coming out of a big open warehouse. There were still some kids sitting around, but I didn't see any kids I own. I thought I might have to get out of the car and go inside, which I hate. Picking up people is bad enough, but when you have to go inside of a place, no. Especially I didn't want to get out because the kids outside looked like they would like to make fun of a dad. I don't know what about them made me think that. Probably that they were kids. I pretty much assume that any kid wants to make fun of me. I decided to sit outside and honk. In my car. People think it's rude to honk when you're waiting for someone, although everyone has those remote lock things that honk the horn. I hate that. Couldn't it be some kind of lesser horn or something? We trained our whole lives to think a honk means, A, pay attention because you are about to be involved in some shit, and then it also means, B, this car is locked now, which is not a cause for alarm whatsoever. The one sound means those two things. That's fucking nuts. The way I see it, horns are a free-for-all now. Like hickeys. A hickey used to be something for under the shirt. Now I see them on people's necks. I don't know how it happened. I don't like it, but here we are. I start honking. Just a quick beep first. I kind of try to pretend like it was an accident. Lean over the passenger seat. The boys don't come out. Oh, lean over the passenger seat like I brushed it. I brushed up against it. Horn. The boys don't come out. They hate honks. Where did that come from? They're kids. One night, RC fell asleep in front of the TV, and the other two spent 2 hours farting on his head and giggling. They're head farters, and they have some kind of problem with honking the horn outside a place. How does that work? I give the horn another long push. It's hard to pretend this one is an accident. It's just too long a honk. The boys out front are looking at me now. I'm almost positive they want to make fun of a dad. See that dude, Mr. Honky Tonk, always honking? Let's vandalize his home and yard in ways that force him to waste a Saturday cleaning it up. My boys come out, all shirtless and sweaty and barefoot. Huge gym bags over their shoulders. I click the door lock button before they get in. Before they can get in the car. Come on, Dad. Sean bangs on the window, hard. He's getting good at hitting stuff. I say, put on your shirts. This isn't a calendar shoot. It's hot, RC says. I don't care. I'm not going to explain topless boys to a police officer if I get pulled over. Oh, these guys? Don't worry, they're my sons, so it's okay if they're shirtless and oily. They all drop their bags on the ground and scrounge out t-shirts. Only then do I unlock the door so they can all three pile in the back. Are you guys oily? You look oily. Seriously, I say, are you oily? RC says it's an old ninja trick. Shut up, Brad says. You wear oil so you can slip out of your enemy's hands. You aren't supposed to tell that, Brad says. They keep fighting in the back seat. I wonder about this Mr. Wong. Groups of young boys oil wrestle in his warehouse? Something about that hits me the wrong way. Probably the boys oil wrestling part. Ooh. A lot of work. KJH. Saturday, someone ruins our entire front yard. That thing where they jam a bunch of plastic knives and forks into the lawn? A lot. It looks like a waste of a Saturday, that's for goddamn sure. For the record, I don't give a hot damn about the lawn. I'm not one of those guys. We have neighbors like that. There's a guy who mows twice a week. He wears polo shirts and business slacks while he does it. He should be locked up forever in a moon-based prison where no grass grows. I can't care about a yard. I can't. I wanted to tear it up and put in green carpet when we bought the place. Not even kidding. My wife said no. She said absolutely not. Then I did it anyway. It turns out that she has good instincts when it comes to how well carpet works as grass, which is not at all. I have better instincts when it comes to creating a sludge zone in the backyard, though, a place for mold and slime to really thrive. We both bring talents and experience to the marriage. And to be fair, nobody could have pushed plastic silverware through a fake lawn. Time makes fools of us all, and I would tell my wife how that was happening to her right now, except I don't want to wake her up. This might be my fault, from the honks yesterday. I can handle this before anyone else is up. Maybe I can salvage a Saturday, but it's risky. One of the luxuries I have is a riding lawnmower. I won it by entering to win it at the mall. They had it in the center, and you could fill out a card and try to win. What's really nuts, did you know that lawnmowers don't even need keys? Wait, one of the luxuries I have is a riding lawnmower. I won it at the mall. I won it at the mall. They had it sitting in the center, and you could fill out a card and enter to win. A whole lawnmower. Okay, one of the luxuries I have is a riding lawnmower. I won it at the mall. They had it sitting in the center, and you could fill out a card and enter to win a whole lawnmower. What's really nuts, did you know that lawnmowers don't even need keys? And that if you show up with an official-looking paper, one without any fun fonts that says you won, the mall people will let you drive right out of there with a whole mower? Did you know that most people who work at the mall make like $5 a day and probably don't give a flying fuck what happens to a riding lawnmower? It's all true. And that's how I came to own a riding lawnmower I'm terrified to use because, for all I know, there's an APB out on a riding mower that disappeared from the mall. Driving that fucker the 4 miles home, one of the most terrifying moments I've ever experienced. A cop drove by at one point. He waved. He must have thought I was hired to mow the median on the interstate, because that is what I was doing, and he just waved. About 8 of the other most terrifying moments of my life happened during that drive, too. If your life doesn't feel like it has enough terror, win/steal a mower and drive the median on the interstate. I fire up the mower and take it out to the yard. The way I figure, the mower should be able to chop right through the forks and knives and suck up all the shreds of plastic. Then maybe no one will be able to tell that the yard was full of plasticware. The first couple of feet are okay, but loud as shit. It sounds like a bunch of dishes breaking, like someone dropping stacks of dishes off a building. And you're standing next to where they're landing on the sidewalk, and also there's a lawnmower running right next to you. The lawnmower is just sitting there, running next to you on the sidewalk. You don't need to know why. This is just a comparison of sounds, not the reason for the sounds. Then the mower starts to struggle, and instead of sucking up the shards, it's spitting them out in a huge circle. They're knocking up against the house, the car parked in the driveway, everything. It sounds like same comparison as before, plus little pieces of plastic flying around and hitting a house and some cars. You know what? Instead of me comparing it to stuff, just use your imagination on what it sounds like. It's worse than you're imagining it, but I'm bored of painting the whole picture here. Use your goddamn brain. 2 swipes across the yard and the mower is done. The bag is full of sharp plastic shards. They're sticking out all over the sides of the grass bag, and the yard looks just as bad. Only difference is that there are little, headless, flat white sticks poking out everywhere instead of forks and knives. Really, if I smeared feces over the tops of them, I would say I'd created a perfect trap for American ground forces in Vietnam. The sounds of the lawnmower grinding along wakes up the boys. They stand on the porch and watch. Brad waves his arms and I wave back, pretending like I don't know he's trying to talk to me. Then he starts doing the throat slit motion to tell me to stop the motor. I wave some more and smile and then do the same thing back like I've never seen it before and don't know what it means. And do the same throat slit thing back like I've never... Okay. Then he walks through the yard. He's barefoot, and without looking down, he manages to miss all the sharpened plastic all over the place. He catches up with me and pushes down the throttle on the mower until it dies off. "Oh, hey there, son," I say. "Dad, what is all this?" Before I can answer, I hear Sean's voice behind me. "Skulls," he says. Brad nods and looks over the yard. "We'll clean this up, Dad. Don't worry about it." Not one to argue with not doing work, I say, "Sounds good, son." It's the Flaming Skulls, rival dojo. They did this, I know it. I say, "Yep, sounds good. Well, I hope it doesn't take too long." They're always going too far. Beating us in the tournament is one thing. Talking smack, whatever. Sean slams his fist into his hand. But now they're messing with family. "Yeah," Brad says. "The wrong family, right?" I say. They both look at me. "Sorry," I say. "I'll leave you to your cleaning." W-E-R. The boys start cleaning, and after a while, some other boys from their gym come, and then Mr. Wong himself shows up. My wife and I watch from the kitchen window. "How much do you know about this, Mr. Wong?" I say. She says, "Stop. I already know where this is going." "Just saying. Hello, boys. Get comfortable in a row, why don't you?" "Really, stop. How about the three of you oil up and wrestle around for my pleasure?" "Enough. Did you know the Chinese symbol for karate and all-male review are the same? He's a nice man. If you took a little interest..." Ooh. "If you took a little interest in the boys once in a while, you would know that." I say, "That's not fair. I take interest in them all the time." "Interest in making fun of their karate teacher. Burn." I didn't say that last part out loud. I didn't think of it until now. "Go out there and meet him." "Okay," I say. I see him directing 3 little boys with black hair and sorting the knives and forks into separate bags. "Who are those weirdos?" I say. My wife stands up on her tiptoes to see. "The Worthington boys. They're triplets. You don't know them either?" "Ew, triplets? No," I say. "Should I?" "Your sons talk about them all the time. Their dad owns Worthingtons. The Worthingtons? He's right over there." I look over and see a guy in navy suit pants, tie, and rolled up sleeves helping with the removal of plastic from my lawn. He's an involved dad. He does things with his kids. I barely resist saying ew, just the way I did when I saw the triplets. Multiples gross me out. There's something very gross about the whole idea of more than one of the same guy. UHG. I walk barefoot over to the end of the yard where Mr. Wong is working with the Worthington triplets. Mr. Wong? He finishes talking to one of the triplets. Make sure to separate everything and keep the usable stuff in here. We'll wash it all off and give it to the shelter. He turns to me and says, ah, yes, we finally meet. Hello. Your boys are gifted. The danger of using your imagination to make fun of your boys for fucking their karate teacher is that anything he says sounds really horrible. Their natural limberness makes them formidable opponents. See? I'm glad to have them at my dojo. Please, I'd like you to meet a good friend of mine. He calls Mr. Worthington over. Worthington's wearing glasses, and he takes them off to rub the lenses on his shirt, which looks more expensive than even his glasses. Everything about him is more expensive than the last thing about him. He puts the glasses back on. It's even more expensive. He puts the glasses back on and makes his best rich guy face, which you would think would be his normal face because he's a rich guy, but he has an even richer guy face. Hi, I say. I like your shirt. It looks expensive. He laughs. Thanks. Listen, sorry about your yard. I know how it is. This whole skulls thing is way out of control. I'm actually headed over there with Mr. Wong right now to straighten things out. You should join us. Just when I thought Saturday was saved by having all these karate kids come and clean up the yard for me. He'd love to, my wife says. She snuck up behind us while we were talking. She scares the holy shit out of me. I jump and then land right on top of a fork that stabs me in the foot. Good, I say. Good then. I'll just go ahead and bandage this up and we'll be on our way. I didn't know she was there, and she scares the holy shit out of me. UTI. Mr. Wong's gym is just a little shithole warehouse. The Flaming Skulls have an awesome gym. Totally awesome. They have a huge building downtown. All black, huge karate guy with a flaming skull head doing a karate kick on a sign. It's the best gym ever built. Huge karate guy with a flaming skull head doing a karate kick painted on the side. All up the side of the building. It's the best gym ever built. My car mates, Wong and Worthington, aren't impressed. Or at least they get really sick of me saying how great it is over and over. But really, each part is better than the last. The door handles, they're little skulls cut out of sheet metal. They have a floor mat shaped like a skull. When we get in, there's a girl working the front desk, and she has a little skull pin. Everything's a skull! Just when you think you've seen enough skulls, you go to get a water cone from the water cooler in the lobby, and you see that every little cone cup has a skull printed on it. We wait on a couch that's all white with skulls printed all over. I have 8 cones of water by the time the owner shows. I wanted to make sure they didn't just stamp the first one and then the rest were regular. Ah, Jake Skullman, Worthington says. This dude is awesome. Let's stop right here and make that very clear. Tan, ripped, gold chains with skulls on them. He's wearing a karate robe with a big flaming skull on the back and the front. He shakes all of our hands. His grip is really hard. I say, this place is cool. Thanks, he says. We try to keep things brand consistent. Mr. Wong laughs. Ah, Mr. Wong. It's been a while. When was it? Ah, yes, the last tournament we held. The one where my students beat your pathetic team right before I beat you in front of all of them. You cheated, Wong shouts. You are swine. Okay. Worthington steps in between them. Now's not the time. We're here to talk about putting things to rest, not digging up old dead horses. Both of the men calm down. I don't know, I say. Maybe they should fight. I was sort of hoping they would karate fight. That would be a pretty good way to salvage a Saturday. All three men look at me angry. They all finish looking at me mad and then start ignoring me completely. This is usually what happens when I talk to adults. Usually not this fast, though. They talk for a while about pranks back and forth, some spray paint, the removal of wheels from someone's car. There's something in there about a missing kid, but I'm bored and physically unable to pay attention anymore. Then they start yelling, and then it's time to go. We're walking out, and I ask the skull guy if they sell t-shirts. He laughs and shouts to the woman at the desk, "Connie, get a few shirts for my new friend here." She gets up and heads through a pair of swinging doors with skull-shaped windows instead of the normal circles. "And a couple shot glasses and bandanas," he shouts after her. "And one of those custom lighters." OPP. The next morning, I'm on the front porch wearing all my skull stuff and trying out smoking again. Because I try out smoking every few months. I'm good at it if I have enough drinks, but enough drinks is a lot of drinks. It's the same amount of drinks that means I don't feel anything that's happening to my body, which is why drinks make me good at smoking. Also, if it's honesty time, the front porch is what I call the spot on the side of the garage. It's just gravel, but I set up a lawn chair over there and glued a koozie onto the arm as a cup holder. Then I cut a slot in the koozie so coffee cup handles could stick out. Then the whole operation completely fell apart, and now there's just a foam circle on the arm of the lawn chair. I keep it there mostly to absorb rainwater and create terrible smells. If I make the mistake of setting my arm on it, the stink gets into my skin and stays and stays and stays. Just my own little slice of heaven. The boys are walking out of the house in sweats while I'm trying to light up. "Hey guys," I say. They turn. RC walks towards me. "Dad," he says, "are you smoking?" "You bet, son." I try to light up 3 or 4 times. It doesn't work. Probably because I've had these same cigarettes in a drawer since a long time. "What are you wearing?" Sean says. They're looking at my skull shirt and pajama pants. The desk lady found pajama pants, too, and a bandana, but I'm not wearing the bandana yet. "That guy from the skull gym gave me this stuff. Mr. Skellington? Skullman. Yeah, Skullson. He gave me all this free swag. Seems like a good dude." The boys look at each other. Brad says, "Dad, he runs the worst dojo in town. He broke a kid's necks last week in sparring practice." "Huh," I say. "Well, you can't always believe what you hear. Sometimes, boys, you have to believe in something." "Like free shirts and lighters?" "Like free shirts and lighters." They turn and all put their hoods up and start jogging down the street in a single file line. Creeps. Sean says, I say, Y2K. Somewhere around here is when the kidnapping happened. It's hard to remember exactly because when I was kidnapped, they really gave me a good old-fashioned hitting over the head time. When I say it was old-fashioned, what I mean is really awful. I think most things that are old-fashioned are really awful. It's just a cute way for me to say something's awful, really. Old-fashioned is just a cute way for me to say something's awful. I don't call my dad a racist, asshole, abuser, dickhead. I say he's old-fashioned. The last thing I remember before the kidnapping time, which was very old-fashioned, is sitting in the kitchen and deciding whether to cook hot dogs or if I could just eat them cold. No bun, no nothing. Straight out of the package. It wasn't so much a question of if it was possible. It was one of those questions that you feel is going to determine your life path. I hadn't raw dogged it for a really long time. I remember thinking that with raw dogging it, you want to do it in a happy place, when your friends are outside playing Green Ghost and you want to eat a hot dog without taking the time to cook it. You don't want to eat raw hot dogs from a sad place, when you're just looking for the easiest possible way to eat some shit to power your horrible life to the conclusion of another day. And then things got old-fashioned and the beating the shit out of me happened. UJA. I woke up in a warehouse, tied to a chair. Standing in front of me with his arms crossed was this big Chinese guy. He was one of these guys that's sort of fat, but strong fat. You can tell he's strong as hell. 20 minutes of light cardio would probably make a world of difference for the dude, though. walking at a brisk pace or something. It doesn't have to be wind sprints, just a little something to get his crusted heart pumping. I tried to talk, except there was a rolled up rag tied over my mouth. It smelled really good, like the good kind of tide. We aren't a tide house anymore because RC is allergic to something in tide, I'm told. So all in all, having this thing stuff in my mouth wasn't too bad. The ropes tying me to the chair were kind of bad, but it's all about how you look at stuff. Tied up to in a warehouse? That's a solid week away from work. After you get back, it's a solid week. I tried to close my eyes again and pretend I was still passed out, but the fat Chinese guy must have seen me because he walked over and pulled out the gag. Are you ready to listen to our terms? This will be your last chance. I said, I mean, sure. He said, you will sign your stocks over to us. We will gain control of the company and you will do nothing to stop us. I said, and if I refuse? I didn't plan to refuse. I didn't even know what they wanted. I owned a couple shares of Nintendo from after they invented the Game Boy, but I sold those when Game Boy Color came out. Not so I could use the money for Game Boy Color, but to buy drugs to make me feel not as bad because I didn't have Game Boy Color. A voice behind me said, if you refuse, Mr. Worthington, I think you'll find yourself in some hot water. A trap door slid sideways in the floor, and there was a huge pit of boiling water. Or maybe oil. Or maybe it was acid. I've been led to believe that acid always looks like it's boiling, but that might just be from movies. It could have been acid they were boiling to make it look more menacing. It's really hard to say with these things. The man who spoke from behind me was Mr. Skullman. He stepped in front of me in an even cooler karate robe than the one he had on before. More skulls, plus spikes. God, this guy really was fucking cool. He made a pain face when he saw me from the front. I'm used to that. I have a womanly ass, very nice really. And when I go out in certain pairs of jeans I've had since the late 80s, I think I get mistaken for a woman a lot from behind. Then the person who made the mistake sees me from the front and it's pretty awful, the faces they do. Skullman starts yelling at the Chinese dude. He says, you motherfucking fucker, this is the wrong fucker, you fuck. This guy loves saying the fuck word and I can't blame him. It's working. The Chinese guy looks like he's going to cry. Worthington, he yelled. You were supposed to get Worthington. Skullman yells. They got the wrong guy. Millionaire, rich, awesome guy Worthington? No. Idiot who really needs to take a shit because after a few days those oatmeal cream pies are catching up with him on a delayed effect? Bingo. GGG. They leave me tied to a chair while they talk about what to do. The acid boil is still going. I can't tell from the smell either. I think someone maybe broke my nose when they kidnapped me. I can't tell if it's acid. Or not. From the smell. Hey, I yell over. They both turn. Did you guys break my nose when you kidnapped me? They go back to talking. Normally, I wouldn't have the guts to yell at someone like that, but I guess that I've been thinking a lot about my sons and how brave they are, and it makes me want to be more brave. Haha, just kidding. It's really because my head was severely injured. After I got rescued, they had to drill a hole in my skull to let out blood. Those guys beat me up bad. I couldn't think very good just then. They go into another room and talk some more, and it's my big chance to escape. Skullman and the other guy. Did you know you can look up ways to escape from being tied in a chair and it's all over the internet? When you're sitting there tied up in a chair, you think a lot about all the things you could have Googled that maybe would get you out of this situation. Which always leads to thinking about other things you could have Googled because, you know, once you start Googling something, it kind of opens the door to other stuff. Porn, mostly. I'm talking exactly about porn. Which explains why I was tied to the chair having made no attempt to escape when my sons and their karate teacher burst through the door to rescue me. I was thinking about porn. I was busy. About porn. Mom's gonna be proud. I'm pretty sure I was thinking about how long it had been since I'd looked at stills of naked people instead of video. I was hoping I'd live to jack off to stills just once more. Do you think they let you spank one last time before you get executed? They should. QAR. Well, I was thinking about jacking off just before the electric chair. A door to my left burst off the hinges and a bunch of smoke came in. The smoke smelled a lot like cigarettes. Old ones. Like, you know how an old bowling alley smells? How you get Cheetos out of the machine and think, fuck me, even these taste like menthol. That's what ninja smoke smells like. Then, all three of my boys and their karate teacher came through the smoke. Brad did a front flip through the smoke. Sean came in doing a windmill kick. RC did a cartwheel. I know, not exactly an inspiration. Their teacher walked through last. He said, boys, free your father. I'm going after Skullman. Sean said, what? No way. We go, their teacher yelled. The boys ran over to where I was sitting and still kind of thinking about porno. I was really pretty excited because it looked like I was going to get another chance to jack off to Stills after all. Although thinking about it, I really came to see how every time could be my last. Can I afford to use one on a nostalgia whack? Dad, are you okay? RC said. They didn't get me untied before the big Chinese guy came back. They couldn't get me untied in time. The big Chinese guy came back. He looked a little unsure about what was going on. I could identify with him. I mean, he can't just let these boys walk away with me. But on the other hand, what's he going to do? Beat the shit out of three children? He even looked at me for help, and all I could do was shrug like, yeah, man, I don't know what I would do either. The boys got in their karate stances and put their fists up. Then, and I'll never forget this, Brad said, this is the end of the road. The fuck? Then all three boys yelled hi-ya really long and ran at the Chinese man. Let me give everyone out there a piece of advice. Even if you don't think there's a chance you'll end up fist-fighting three little boys, take a minute tomorrow morning, while you're having your coffee and looking out the kitchen window, take that moment to make a decision. Because nobody thinks they're going to fist-fight three little boys, but I know that at least this one guy has, and he still hadn't decided whether he could punch out a child by the time they were all over him. So take a minute, make that decision before the last possible moment. So take time this morning and make that decision, just in case. Brad and Sean tried to circle around and kick the Chinese guy in the arms and legs. RC used a classic move that he taught himself as a toddler and lowered his head and rammed it straight into the guy's balls. It was a good shot. The guy even bent forward and made that big O with his mouth, just like in the movies. He stood back up, not all the way because he couldn't, but he took a couple swipes at the boys and knocked up Brad off to the side, then Sean too. He kind of just picked up RC and held him up and then dropped him on the floor. The boys regrouped. I have to tell you, if I wasn't all tied up and stuff, well, don't think I'm a monster. But watching three little kids fight an adult is pretty entertaining. I'm not much for fights or wrestles or whatever on TV, but this was different. If they did weird shit, I might be more interested. You know, a big fat guy versus a really tall guy. Guy with no arms versus guy with no legs. But they're always obsessed with a guy fighting another guy who's almost the same guy. Who cares? Anyway, that's when Brad pulled a pair of nunchucks out of his sleeve and started wailing on this fucking guy. And Sean pulled a pair of brass knuckles out of his karate robe and started punching the holy hell out of the guy. They were just whacking on him, punching and nunchucking and just kicking the holy shit out of him. That's when RC pulled a weapon out of his sleeve. It was a tiny little bottle of perfume. He ran up to the guy, who was bent over again from another severe nunchucking to the groin, and he sprayed the perfume in his face. The guy screamed. He screamed and held his face in his hands. When he brought his hands away, the face skin was stuck to his palms. You know those pizza commercials when they show the cheese stretching off the pizza longer and longer? That's what his face skin was doing. It turns out RC replaced the perfume in the bottle with acid. Nuts, right? The boys high-fived over the screaming man who fell to the floor, and they came over to untie me. G-O-G. I said, thanks for the rescue. RC, are you carrying a glass bottle of acid in your sleeves like all the time now? The boys untied me. I'm trying to remember if nunchucks are numchucks or nunchucks. I have no idea. He nodded, beaming up at me, like I was going to say how impressed I was with his maturity, that he'd be so grown up that he could carry an acid bottle in his sleeve without even breaking it and melting his arm to the bone. Okay, check, I said. I didn't know what else to say. It did get me out of being killed. We'd have to deal with it later. Or maybe I'd just pretend I didn't know, and then if something happened, tell my wife that I thought it was a phase. That excuse never works, but it does change the argument from being about how bad a parent I am and makes it into an argument about how stupid I am. That argument I've had many times, so I'm pretty comfortable with that. I was going to ask Sean if I could hold one of his brass knuckles just in case, and that's when Skullman came in, dragging Mr. Wong by his robe. Boys, he said, your teacher is pathetic and weak. This is your last chance. Join me. We can be the most powerful dojo in the tri-state tournament zoning lines. Once you cast off the soft-hearted, pathetic teachings of this pitiful old man, you'll be stronger than you ever imagined. His karate robe was open to the waist. He had a really long belly button. Skullman's karate robe. It was weird. He should have kept his robe more closed all the time. I'm not saying that it's never okay for men to be a little naked, but if I had a weird belly button, I'd hide it. If I had a crazy shriveled arm or something, I'd wear long sleeves. Just be aware, everyone. The boys looked at each other, nodded. Sean said hi-ya and jumped on Brad's shoulders. Then RC said hi-ya and jumped on Sean's shoulders. They were like DuckTales ducks when they'd get in a trench coat to go open a bank account or something, except a karate version. Ah, this again, Skullman said. So apparently this wasn't the first time for any of them to do any of this, which I still find absolutely baffling. They fought a little bit. Mostly the boys tried to punch Skullman in the crotch. Skullman was running around, and that's about it. It's pretty easy to avoid a boy tower. This went on for long enough that everyone was out of breath, and then they were talking about taking breaks. Skullman was saying he could go get a round timer. I said, okay, hold on. That's probably enough. I walked up to Skullman and said, listen, my kids can't just be karate fighting adults. This is insane. Do you realize how insane this looks? Then I took him aside. I said, listen, I don't have any stake in this business. I think Worthington sucks too. So here's what I'm proposing. GDS. After that, pretty much everything worked out. Skullman let us go. He kept the karate teacher, Mr. Wong. I have no idea what happened to him, but think about it this way. A, do you know what happened to your kid's t-ball coach from 10 years ago? No? So how much worse am I than you? B, nobody missed a crazy old man who had sweaty kids in his garage and gave them acid and perfume bottles. The boys tried calling the cops a couple times. But let's face it, who are you going to believe? Three kids who claim to be ninjas and that they had an epic karate fight with a fat Chinese man to rescue their father? Or their father, who apologizes and says he just doesn't know why boys pull these pranks? It didn't help that when an officer came by, RC said, oh yeah, what about this? And did another cartwheel the way he did when they burst into the warehouse. They pretty much got over karate in a couple weeks. This is what boys do, I'm telling you. Plus, the odds of them getting along in the same activity were always low, so it worked to get them involved in different stuff. Brad got a girlfriend. I'm torn about her being over with the door closed. On the one hand, I don't really want to see what happens in there. On the other hand, when they do eventually open the door, it smells like someone left out a Supreme pizza over the weekend. It's very gross. It permeates the house and some ventilation is necessary. Parenting is hard. Sean got a job at the carnival. He harasses people into playing a game where you throw darts at a balloon to win a square mirror with Kiss painted on it. He hates it. Okay. RC wasn't I wasn't sure about, but then I figured out that Brad having a girlfriend was keeping him busy too. He spends a lot of time with his ear up against the wall, jacking off and listening. He's always been the perviest of the three. And as for me, Well, I joined a gym. I really go, and I pedal the bike at a speed of about 3 miles a year and read magazines for a couple hours every day while watching a woman's boot camp class. The one time my wife mentioned that I wasn't losing weight, I just pretended to be really, really hurt. That's the end of that. It's perfect. Oh, and Worthington definitely disappeared at some point a couple months ago. I haven't heard much about it since. So he might be super dead by now. Who knows? The end. Well, guys, there you go. That, in its current state, is Ninja Sons, a new epic novel by yours truly. Thanks for listening today. A little extra long show. But I hope it was good. I hope the pauses weren't too horrible and long, and that you enjoyed this tale of Ninja Sons. Thanks again for listening. I think we're going to have some pretty interesting shows coming up. I'm going to have a little boon of recording time over the next week. So look forward to that. And I look forward to seeing you on the interwebs.